Okay, so this morning, I would like to, the place where I'd like to start this morning is to kind of just help us see what the Lord has been speaking into us. Because it's so easy for us to, in some sense, compartmentalize every Sunday, and it's just another day and another preach and another thing, and actually lose track of what God has been saying and what He's been doing. And I think it's important, firstly, I think it's important for us to make sure, and this is the reason why I'm doing it, that we are not those that are ever hearing, but never doing. If you hear what I'm saying. The Word of God is powerful. 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:16. It's powerful, it's there for correction, for reproof, for encouragement, for building up, for causing us to mature. And so when the Word comes and we hear it, if we are only listening to it and never actually do it, what we're actually saying is that the Word of God is not important. And so it's important for us to understand and to consistently go, is what I'm hearing, am I taking it in? Is it worth taking in? Is it worth doing? And we need to kind of weigh that up with the Word. And then as we weigh it up and we see, hey, it is actually in Scripture. It is actually being said in that same light, in that same heart. Then we have a responsibility in the Lord to then do it. Because it's not then anymore the person that was preaching or whether I like him or not. No, it's actually now the Word of God that is coming to me and serving me in helping me live out my life for Him, which He paid for, which He brought me into. Amen? And so if we ignore that, then we're actually, in effect, ignoring God. And if I have to ask us point blank, do you want to ignore God? I don't think there's any of us that would be willing to say yes. But it's so easy for us to do it in our actions or actually in our inability to act. We're actually saying, God, your word is not important. And so I think that's important. Secondly, that in case there's any of us that's not taking note of what God is saying, I want to share it so that we can make sure that we hear it and not miss out. Jenny had that Anaya had that word of the golden rings. Like that is God's heart for us. That's God's heart for you and for me. That we are those golden rings that is set up for refinement. God is more interested in you and me being found as faithful in front of Him than what the desire in us is to be faithful. Did you hear that? God is more invested in you being faithful than what even our desire is to be faithful. But there will come a day where there will be a making, a choosing what is gold and what is counterfeit. And what is counterfeit, what doesn't carry His mark, will be discarded. And on that day, it's going to be too late to say, no, no, Lord, yeah. And I believe the Lord's heart is for all to know Him, for all to be saved, for all to come into His kingdom. He's given us the Holy Spirit. He's given us His Son. He's given us His Word so that all of us, with the time that we have, that we can make sure that we hear it, that we allow it to come and form and shape our lives so that on that day, we can't say anymore, oh God, I didn't know. Oh Lord, I didn't hear. Oh Lord, no, you never told me it was like this. No, no, God wants to make sure that there's no small print that we miss. Amen? And so it's important to kind of look at what the Lord has been saying and then make sure that we posture ourselves. And there's been a number of words this morning coming in, and I'm hoping we can share some of them after the preach. But I believe over the last few weeks, God has pulled a thread. Mervis spoke to us, and he had this beautiful picture of how Jesus never moves away from us. That where we move away, and Jesus moves closer. And now we miss out actually on coming to Him because we don't know Him for who He is. We kind of respond to Him based on our insecurities and our objections and our inhibitions. We kind of go, no, surely God can't love me. Surely God, and Jesus is just coming, I love you. And He had that statement of saying, Jesus, you should have left me a long time ago. I think it was more or less like that. But yeah, Jesus comes and He pulls close to us. The week after that, I spoke to us about how the enemy comes and the enemy makes us so busy that we end up neglecting coming to God. The enemy doesn't come like a devil and going like this big, red, fiery, horned thing. You will serve me. Blah. No, because in that moment, we can recognize this is the devil. I should maybe move away from this. No, he comes into places of like, I want to love my family well. I want to provide for them. So I'll just work. That promotion, man, it will open up. And when I get that promotion and when I get that money, I can bless more people. I can do so many things for the kingdom of God. And what does it do? Just take your time. And a week goes by, you haven't spent time with the Lord. A month goes by, you haven't spent time with the Lord. Church, the family of God. I don't want to use the word church. I want to use the family of God. Is meeting together and you don't have capacity. Because you've been working for this somewhat out there utopia that if I get there, then on that day I will be able to. And you miss out on the family of God. You miss out on the places that God has given you to come to know Him, to come to see how He works, to come to hear what He's doing in the lives of people. If you were not here this morning, you wouldn't know what God has done in these people's lives that shared here this morning. And I know that just the things that God has done in their lives, when you look at yourself, when I look at myself, when I hear those testimonies, I can see things and bits of myself that recognizes the feeling that they had, that recognizes the objections in their thoughts of why not to do things, why not to come, why not to give yourself. And as you hear those testimonies, you go, if God can do it for them, then surely that is available to me too. And if you are not here, you might know Scripture, you might know what the Bible says, but it doesn't get confirmed for you. It just, maybe if someday, but here you go, like someone, God comes and touches their heart, touches their back. My encouragement to us in that week was that we actually need to stop from all things, and take time to behold our Father in heaven. So that we can know Him. Because that's what He made possible for us. He made possible for us to come to know Him. To spend time with Him. Not to be busy doing this life. Enrico followed up on that. And he spoke about how Jesus came and made space for us in His family. He had the picture of the pigeons and the pigeon coop. That actually there's safety in the boundaries that God has placed over our lives. And we can hear that in the boundaries, we can hear it as do's and don'ts. But when I say to my children, hey, don't run into the road, I'm not saying it because I want to stop them from running around or I want to not have them burn out the energy. I need them to burn out their energy. Because if their legs are not going to run, their mouths are going to move. But I'm saying, hey, don't run into the road. Run on the grass. Why? Because there's a car. There's a car that drives in the road. And in the same way, God comes and speaks to us and puts boundaries in place for us. He says, move in this way. Move here. Be here. Don't go there. And we are, no. Do's and don'ts. God is going, okay, actually, I want to keep you safe. And that's what Enrico's encouragement was. Is that within the family of God, we found boundaries. And those boundaries are there to keep us safe, to bring to us life, to help us with security. Because, man, if there's something that everyone and everything in this world is going for, it is security. Finances, medical aid, investments, work, all of these things. We want to make sure that I can position and posture myself so that I can get secure as possible from everything that's trying to come in and take. Amen? And here God comes and says, I've given you my family. I've given you eternal life. Best investment ever. Salvation. And then over the last 2 weeks, Mike, Defay, and myself, we spoke out of the same account out of two different places. I spoke out of Luke. He spoke out of Matthew, where Jesus speaks and says to his disciples, and kind of helps them understand where to put their focus in terms of their lives. We all know the scripture is seek first the kingdom of God and everything else will be added unto you. Don't worry about what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat, where you're going to sleep. Like, don't worry about these things. No, first seek the kingdom of God. And Mike posed this question of the two masters. We're serving our own needs, like, which is actually the master of money, and Harry also touched on it, Mammon. Or are we actually in a place of where our lives are, Jesus, you are my master. In my time, I look at you first. In my finances, I look at you first. You are the provider. You are the one that sustains it. You are the one that keeps it. You are the one that demands it, that holds it, that directs it. Jesus, you. Because you are my master. So I want to start, well, I want to carry on, but... I want to say this morning, that we are not here for this life or for this world. So this morning, as we are gathering here, we are not here for this world. No, we are here to serve God, to glorify Him, and to represent His kingdom in everything that we do. That's why we are here this morning. And I'm trusting this morning that there's going to be a couple of things that you will hear. And I'm pretty sure that I'm going to say some things that are going to offend you. Or are going to feel to you like I'm talking to you. I just want to say, I'm not that clever. I'm not that versatile even. To be able to speak to all of you this morning into your situations, even if you feel like, hey, but Ariane, I spoke to you about this. It's not in my mind. But when that feeling comes up, I want you to recognize this. The Holy Spirit is touching something in you. And you can direct it at me and be offended at me. But I want to say to you, that's going to yield no fruit in your life. Rather, when that feeling comes, and when that moment comes of wanting to be, you feel that the fence creeping up. It's like a frog that wants to come out. When you feel that thing, in that moment, bring that to Jesus. You don't have to wait for me to pray. You can, there where you're at, close your eyes and say, Jesus, I want to present this thing to you because clearly it's something that you're pushing on. Help me. Doing that will serve you. It will serve you to actually better hear what Jesus is doing. To not just be someone that's ever hearing, but someone that's actually always doing. Amen? So let me start here. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground and have, and after you've done everything, to stand. Oh, let me just say that. I think my words got mixed up there. You may be able to stand your ground and after you've done everything, to stand. Because that's God's heart for us, that we would stand. That we would be those examples of His working, of His empowerment, of His grace working in us, so that in the face of all things, that we'll be able to stand. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for this morning. And Lord, as we stand here this morning, we're not coming for the philosophies of men, or even the words of men, or understanding of men, but we look to your Holy Spirit this morning to come and work in us. We look at your Holy Spirit this morning to come and illuminate and reveal, to bring conviction and revelation of your goodness, of your forgiveness that you've given us, and of your grace that empowers us to stand in this world. And so we thank you this morning, Jesus, that we are your people, that we are your children. And we pray this morning that your Spirit would confirm this morning that we are your children and that we are in your hands. And so we pray for your word, God. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, I want to say this morning, that if you are a believer, you need to understand that you are in a war. It is not your choice to be in it or not be in it. If you follow Jesus, you are in a war. This war is not new. It didn't all of a sudden wake up the day that there was someone that picked up a guitar and decided to make it electric and started going rock music. Or cell phones. Or Wi-Fi or 5G. It's like, no. This war has been going on since the beginning of time. Since the beginning, there's been a war between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. And being part of Jesus, saying to Jesus, you have my life, I give my life to you. In that moment, we enter into battle. We enter into war. And the war is not for gold, silver, precious stones. It's not for ground. It's not even to be able to say, hey, this piece of land is my land and that piece of land is your land. And, oh, I see you've got some fruit trees on your land. I don't have it on my land. So I'm coming to you and I want to take some of your land so that I can have more of my land. No. Because that's the way this world works. But this world is just mimicking something that is happening in the spiritual and it's trying to work it out in the natural. And so we can see all over the world, there's war happening everywhere. And everyone wants someone else's bit. Now, this war is actually a war that's there to find your devotion. And that war is there for your attention. this enemy that we are fighting against is looking at everything that God has and says, I want that for myself. And if I can't have it for myself, I'll scorch the earth. And so this war that we're fighting in is a war for our hearts. But we have Jesus, who is on our behalf, dealt a devastating blow. He basically fought the whole fight. And where we are right now, right here, he's saying to us, hey, my children, go take the ground. The war is not over yet, but a big part of the battle has been won. Now go finish it up. But for some of us, we're distracted by it. And some of us are even unaware that we are in this battle. And somehow the enemy, knowing that these last moments is on the table, is trying to take as much as he can with him. Because he thinks even in that he's able to do something. So I want to read you the scripture, 2 Corinthians 10. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. That's what we're here to do. That is what is meant to be our fight. It's not meant to be just the person that's preaching's fight. No, it's each and everyone. This needs to be, in some sense, Lord, this is what you've given me to do. And so this morning, as I'm sitting here, or standing here and talking to you, you're sitting, I'm standing, in case you were wondering. What I'm trying to do here this morning is I'm trying to touch rebellious thoughts. I'm trying to get to encourage you to obey Christ. Because I know obeying Christ is the beginning of all life. And not just life on this earth. No, life eternal. I might not be clever, but one thing that I do know is that if I put my focus on eternal life, it's going to serve me far better than to put my focus on this temporal life. Because 80 years versus eternity. Timu, real thing. So my title this morning is this: Faith and Faking It. Faith and Faking It. This week, we have seen, in some ways, a very defining moment in the earth, where we've seen violence on a level that just doesn't make sense. And you think, after 9/11 and all the things that's gone before that, for our generation that lives here, or the generations that's currently alive, you look at these things and you're devastated by it, but we're so entertained by it. We're so drawn in. And we can look at these things and go, oh, how could they? Oh, how devastating. Oh. We all have our feeling, and we all make our feelings known on the internet. But never do we look at it. And in that moment of seeing the devastation, the pain, the hurt on all sides that is there, do we come to the Lord and say, Lord, would you come and work in this earth? God, would you come and pour out your spirit on this earth? God, would you enable me to go to those who are lost and be able to preach your gospel to them? No, I'll rather look at the trauma and just sit there in my self-righteousness and go, oh, so bad, these evil people. But can I tell you what is in God's heart? The person that gets shot in front of thousands of people, live on Twitter and X and whatever you want to call it, God's heart is like, oh, my son. But I'm telling you, the guy that took the shot, God's heart is even more, oh, my son, what are you doing? I've got so much more for you. It will look at that guy. Oh, evil. Look at his life. Look at the things that he's been brought up in. Gun laws. Woke mentality. Left, right. And we think having an opinion on these things makes us somewhat righteous because we understand world dynamics. No. If our reaction is not to pray, to say, God, would you have mercy? God, these people don't know what they're doing. God, pour out your spirit. I want to say to us, if that's not our reaction, we actually don't know who God is. There's no hate in God. The only hate that there is in Him is the hate for darkness. And darkness has never been a person. It's never been an action. It's a power and a principality. And Jesus has come and God has given us His Son so that the power and the principalities of darkness, that the hold that they have on this, on you and me, may be cut off, may be taken away, may be thrown into hell, and that day will come. But that's what He's given. So when looking at these things, it kind of leaves me in a place of where I question, the question that I have in my mind. It's like, where am I in all of this? And it actually also makes me go, like, does my life make a difference? So yes, I'm praying and I'm saying, Lord, this is devastating. I was busy reading something, and I got this notification of that moment that Charlie Kirk was shot. And you get pulled into this spiral of just everything that's happening. But it puts the question to me, is my life, does my life make a difference? Because God, if I am your son and your spirit is within me, then Lord, whether it's to 10,000 or millions or one person, I want to at least make a difference. Because you didn't call me here to have no effect. Because your spirit doesn't have no effect. No, God, you've called me to have an effect because it's your spirit that is at work in me. It's not my hands, it's not my understanding, it's not my way of doing. No, I'm just a vessel. Whatever is in the cup, God, it comes from you. And whatever is in the cup, when it's poured out, it brings new life. Because you are God of all. You hold all things in your hand. And if your spirit is poured out inside of me, I cannot but have an effect if I pour it out. But see, I think for many of us, there's been a time that God has poured into us, but we're not actually pouring it out. We're not actually pouring it out. We just keep on filling, keep on filling. It was I need to really get done now, but there was a statement that was given about Charlie Kirk and his life. And by that, I'm not saying I agree. Or, like, don't see this as any kind of alignment to anything or any idea, okay? Just the statement that was made shook my heart. And this guy said this, I pray that one day when I die, by whatever means, the demons would also rejoice that I'm dead. And I thought, oh, that's a life that counts. See, the day when Jesus died, demons rejoiced. They were celebrating the fact that Jesus died. Never did they know of what it actually they started. Never did they know. And I go, Jesus, I want my life to count like that. I want my life to count like that. So, I'm really, really running out of time. I am timing myself, I believe you. Or you can believe me. So, a question for us. Does our believing what we have come to know about God, what we've come to know about Scripture, all the teachers and preaching that we have heard, does our believing actually measure up to our doing? And that's a big question. It's a really big question. And I've been asking it of myself, and I'm realizing in myself, there's parts that I believe, but I'm not doing it. And I'm like, Lord, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be like that. No, God, I want your word to have an effect in my life. That as I hear it, and as I can see that this is the truth, because it's not like we don't know that Jesus is the truth. No, we know it. But if it's actually a truth that we follow, a truth that we lay down our lives for, a truth that we would die for, that's a completely different question. And I'm going, if it is true, there is no space for me not to lay my life down. Because if I don't, I'm actually saying this is not a truth worth dying for. Which in some ways doesn't actually make it that true. So for some of us, we've been saved for a very long time. Bridgie, how long was it? Longer than anyone. I didn't know you were going to say that, okay? So I'm not aiming at you, okay? But we've been saved for a very long time. And we come to church and we so understand what church is about that we would lift our hands in worship and we'll sing, Jesus, you are the King. Jesus, your name. Jesus, your glory, like no other name. But Monday morning comes and there's no song of obedience that's in our hearts. No, we just fall into whatever has been given to us. My boss wants this. My time says this. I need to do that. We just fall into it. There's no actual song anymore of Jesus, your glory. Jesus, your name. Jesus, you are the one. No. We carry on. Didn't take the time to spend time with the Lord. And again, I'm not saying here this morning, do's and don'ts. No, what I'm saying is we spend time with God because we get to. We get to spend time with God. It is the simplest, and I want to say the stupidest ideas that there is to say. I feel like a cheap date saying, hey guys, you know what's most important? Spend time with Jesus. Because everybody knows it. Yet no one makes the time to spend time with Him. I'm not trying to condemn us. I'm not trying to make you feel bad this morning. I really am trying here to say, guys, we've got to wake up. There's this idea that you take a frog that is alive and you put him in a pot of water. And you put that pot of water on the stove. And that frog will be happy as a fish in that water. But you just take the switch, electricity, gas, whatever it is. And you put it on. And slowly that water starts boiling. And this guy starts off, hey, the water's a bit cold. It's nice. I'm refreshing. Oh, it's getting a bit warmer. Jacuzzi. And as it goes along, eventually the frog gets boiled alive. And we're getting boiled alive because we're not awake. And so we come to church, we hear the words, we do the things. Maybe you jump high enough and sing nice enough and people start asking you, hey, don't you want to come on to leadership? Don't you want to come and lead worship? And then you come and you lead worship and you're like, wow, this is great. Get a great feeling. Oh, look at how people are loving God, how they're worshiping. And there's something to feel in that moment. I want to like be honest with you. I've led worship with a couple of thousand, 5,000 people standing there, worshiping, praising God. On that moment, and I'm strumming my guitar, and it's like singing all my praises for God. In that moment, there's a small part of you that goes, whew, this feels nice. Honestly. But then, the novelty of it starts wearing off. Sunday morning, I've got to be there at 7 o'clock. Do they not understand the week that I had? Oh, the sound man just doesn't listen. The words on the screen, Mike is never fast enough. I love you, Mike. And we start losing. And actually, the very reason why we are there is not because it's comfortable, because it's not. It's not because it's nice, because it isn't always nice. It's not because of any other reason other than, God, would you take my life and let your name be glorified? And we lose vision of it. And we move from faith of God has put a calling of worship into my life. We move out of that place and we step into this place of now I have to fake it. What would people think? What would people think of the great worship leader or the great preacher or the elder or the community leader if they actually don't want to do it? If I actually have sin in my life or if I actually made a mistake? No. I'm here, everyone. Hello. God loves you. But actually, in the back, when the mic is gone, when you're not on stage anymore, and our hearts are just like, even the very things that God has given us to build up, to raise up, to see His life come, becomes things that are, they taste bitter to us. And we start looking at other people and go, ah, Martin again. Oh, he can't sing as nice as I do. I should be up more. But being up there, it just causes you to start looking opportunities. We don't want it, but we don't want anyone else to have it either. What does that sound like to you? What spirit is at work in that? I don't think it's the Spirit of God. It's 11 o'clock. I want to ask us, just for a few more minutes, I'm cutting everything out. But there's a couple of things that I feel is just important. So if you can, please, just for a few minutes. We are so overfed with information and knowledge about God, that we have become familiar with Him. And what that pushes us into, it pushes us into a place of where we are not functioning out of faith, but we're functioning out of knowledge. And that knowledge will produce us faking it, because there's no life in it. Even the knowledge of good things will not produce life in us. It can't. And so we look at the scriptures, and I just want to make a quick analogy here for us. We look at the scriptures and we go, I'm struggling in life, I'm struggling with my husband or my wife or my boss or my whatever, and we're going to throw ourselves into the scripture thinking that if I would just know more scriptures, if I would just know more this, then it will fix it. But this, the Bible, it's the Word of God. Amen? You agree with me? Can you agree with me? Yes? It's the Word of God. We acknowledge it. But can I say something to you? It's the Word of God. It's not God. It's the Word of God, but it's not God. It's words that He has spoken. And as we read it, we need to hear it for what He has spoken. God has spoken. It's something that we don't need to think about. Don't need to worry about. No, we can hear it and take it. But it's meant to get us back to a place of where we come to the living God that is still speaking. Because He's alive. He's not dead. He's still speaking, and He wants to speak to me and you something that is not necessarily found in here, but it doesn't contradict what it says in here. Do you understand the difference there? But we treat this, the Bible, a book, like God, but it's not God. And I'm going to explain that, and this is what I'm saying, or explaining it. We would read it, but we don't end up following it. We don't end up going back to God where God is saying, hey, I've made a way for you to come to know me. This is who I am. This is what I've done. Here's the proof. Here's the testimony of who I am. Now come to me. We don't. I'm too busy. You don't understand the day that I had. You don't understand how early I need to wake up. You don't understand how hard I need to work. You don't understand how I feel. And somehow we forego coming to God for the Word of God, thinking that, hey, if we just had this, hey, I'm okay. But it just puffs us up. Because now we know Scripture. We know what to say. But it has no effect in us. It's just dead works. Dead words. Jesus, when He was on earth, the thing that He spoke to the most was the Pharisees. And who was the Pharisees? Everyone that knew the Word of God. But there was no life in it. And when He was standing in front of them, face value, they couldn't recognize the Son of God. But they knew the Word. They followed it, added to it. But they didn't actually believe it. So a couple of thoughts, and I'm ending here. The reason why we don't change the Word of God is because it's prohibited. It says, don't add anything, don't take anything away. But not following it is actually ignoring God. Do you agree with me? Only choosing to follow some of it is actually rebelling against God. Do you know why? Because, Lord, this one I choose, that one I don't choose. And who is at the center of understanding or deciding what is best? Me. So if I read the Word and I'm not trying to follow it in the fullness of it, I actually end up rebelling against God and lifting myself up and my understanding as the greater understanding. There's so much that I want to say. I think it is time, and I'm not going to be able to finish here, so I'm leaving a lot of gaps. But let me read this. 2 Corinthians 1:21 to 22. It is God who enables us, along with you, and Paul speaking about himself, to stand firm for Christ. He has commissioned us, and he has identified us as his own by placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts as the first installment that guarantees everything he has promised us. The scripture is meant to be read and lived out through the Holy Spirit. That is giving us access. It's that first installment, that kind of like proof that this is real. Now go and live it out. If we are not living what we believe, we're faking it. If we are not coming to God and say, God, would you work in me? God, in the times that we spend with him, God, would you come and speak to my heart? And we don't sit there and give him the time of day for him to speak to us. We're not going to find the place of faith. Because we're not giving God the time to get to know him. And the thing about getting to know God, or faith versus faking it, is actually faking it is the idea that we know about God, just like you can know about Trump and Justin Bieber and Britney Spears and whoever else. If you don't know who they are, I am older than you, okay? But it's like you can know about them and you can Google and AI and do all of it to know about them, but it's not actually a relationship with them. And so everything that you do from just knowing about it will end up be faking it. But stopping and going, God, I want to know you. Sorry. For you, show me. That moment is the moment where every step that I take, whether it's my 5 rand that I'm giving, that I realize is not enough. It's not enough to make a difference. But in the hands of God, in the one who created all the world and the one who holds all things, my 5 rand, it's all that I have. And giving it to him, it's going to be in much better hands than giving it, me keeping it. Taking that time to say, like, Lord, I don't have a lot of time, but God, even though I've got all this work, I've got all these things to do, house to clean, all of these things, I just want to spend 10 minutes with you. God, I'm willing to work harder, but I know that you will help me to work faster. And even if you don't, I want to spend with you. God, on a Sunday morning, when your church comes together, there's so many things, God, that I need. But Lord, help me to bless someone. Be it a prayer, be it a hug, be it a word for someone. God, help me. And see, those small steps end up making big differences. Because it's not done out of just a knowledge. It's done with faith. It's done with a place from, actually, I know who God is. I've come to meet him. I've come to hear him. And therefore, I know whatever I do, he's going to bless it.